Good morning, Cascadia. You're listening to your community radio station, KBOO Portland, Oregon, at 90.7 FM. Today is Friday, April 17th, 2009, and this is Air Cascadia, long on content, short on time. I'm Chris Andre.
And I'm Liam Delta.
We have a report on yesterday's public hearing on House Bill 2015, the LNG Public Protection Act.
Governor Kulongoski speaks out against offshore oil drilling.
And the Summit of the Americas kicks off today in Trinidad.
Portland area weather, showers today with highs in the upper 50s. Tonight, decreasing clouds becoming mostly clear and lows around 40. And the weekend will be beautiful.
And first we go to regional news from around Cascadia. The first public hearing on House Bill 2015, that's the LNG Public Protection Act, was on in Salem yesterday. From all reports, it was a fixed fight. Olivia Schmidt with Columbia Riverkeeper is back with me on the air today to talk about what happened at this much-anticipated first public hearing. Good morning, Olivia.
Good morning, Chris. Thanks for having me.
Well, what happened?
Well, about 70 community members in the state of Oregon arrived yesterday at the Capitol building in an effort to show support for House Bill 2015 and with the potential of testifying on that bill in support of it, talking about things like why we need to have a need standard for developing LNG in the state before we grant permits to state-owned natural resources. Unfortunately, what happened was the chair of that committee, Representative Tobias Reed of District 27, which is kind of the Beaverton area, he only scheduled the hearing for 1 hour and provided community members 1 to 2 minutes to speak, whereas he provided the executive of Northern Star Natural Gas, the company proposing Broadwood Landing, got 20 minutes to testify in opposition to the bill. So what we saw was a California resident representing a Texas-based company who is, proposing a project that would tear up the Lower Columbia River estuary, provided 20 minutes to talk about why the bill was unnecessary, and then provided Oregon residents not even one, barely 2 minutes each, to talk about why they thought this bill was important. As a result, many of the important points that needed to be made about that bill were not heard by the committee, and it was really troubling to those of us sitting in that room to see how that favoritism played out.
All the more reason to be even louder and more insistent than we have been in the past. Now is really the time to call your elected representatives and tell them that this is a terrible, misguided idea.
Absolutely.
30 years, it's going to be obsolete, and we will have lost everything.
Exactly. So Representative Tobias Reed, who is the chair of the Sustainability and Economic Development Committee, can be reached at 503-986-1427. It's especially disturbing because he's a Democrat who has been endorsed by conservation and environmental advocacy groups. And it appears now that he's really talking out of both sides of his mouth. So,
well, I suppose, too, one thing that listeners and activists might want to do is call other conservation groups, that Friends of the Columbia River Gorge, Thousand Friends of Oregon, Save Our Wild Salmon, the Sierra Club, and talk about Tobias Reed and see if some of these organizations might not be interested in asking him a few hard questions. Did anyone in the room question the judgment behind this method of carrying out a public hearing? If it's a public hearing, I mean...
Certainly, we were all talking amongst ourselves. You know, there's very strict security in those rooms. And last week, there was a hearing for House Bill 3058, which would allow LNG-related pipeline companies to get permits on private land before actually going through the eminent domain process. At that hearing, the anti-LNG community was definitely present and made quite a ruckus, and we were very strictly warned that that wouldn't be allowed to happen again. And so people were really on, their best behavior, quote-unquote, in this democracy that we have in the U.S., and really didn't have an opportunity to have their voices heard. Representative Tobias Reed's behavior was admonishable, but Representative Brad Witt acted even more poorly when he actually had Joe Desmond, the executive for Northern Star Natural Gas, who's proposing Broadwood Landing. They started in on questions, and at the end, Representative Witt just started referring to him as Joe. You know, it was very clear that there is conversation going on between them, that he's working on behalf of that LNG company, and, you know, we continue to be dismayed with what we're seeing out of the representation out of Salem. But we have an opportunity to change that by contacting them and letting them know that we do support House Bill 2015, that we oppose LNG in Oregon, and that we will continue to be vocal on this issue.
Thank you so much for that. My guest has been Olivia Schmidt with Columbia Riverkeeper, a loyal guest and contributor to Air Cascadia. Thank you so much for that, Olivia.
Thank you, Chris.
The Gov was in San Francisco yesterday to testify against offshore drilling, and he wasn't alone. The hearing was packed with opponents of offshore drilling. Kulongoski said investing in drilling would just slow down the transition to renewable energy. Last year, Congress allowed a ban on new ocean drilling projects to expire.
And, of course, 30 years hence, we'll have lost our oceans, all the fish, the whole habitat, and we'll have an obsolete mess that needs to be cleaned up. Hood River, though, will celebrate Earth Day in a big way on Saturday, tomorrow, joining 24 other cities nationwide as an EPA Green Power community for its commitment to renewable energy. The recognition falls on the Columbia Gorge's Earth Day Festival and the 55th weekend-long Blossom Festival.
Yesterday, President Obama unveiled a plan for the highest level of funding for high-speed rail in decades. The plan includes service between Eugene and Vancouver, B.C. as one of the nation's top 10 corridors. The governors of Oregon and Washington were quick to jump on the announcement. They want federal help for existing systems, such as the Amtrak Cascade Service, supported by Washington, Oregon, and British Columbia. Finally, somebody ran the numbers, and they ran right over the oil lobby.
We have just one addendum here to the previous Hood River EPA story. Spring is here. The Environmental Protection Agency has emerged from its hibernation and concluded that carbon dioxide and five other greenhouse gases are a danger to public health and welfare. It's the first step to regulating pollution linked to climate change and begins a comment period before a final ruling is issued. The EPA will also say tailpipe emissions from motor vehicles contribute to climate change. And now we're moving right along. A University of Oregon activist twice tasered, twice, on May 30th at a downtown Eugene anti-pesticide protest, was convicted yesterday on charges of disorderly conduct and resisting arrest. None of the jury would look at the man, Ian Van Ornum, while the verdict was read. The three police officers involved in Van Ornum's arrest left the courtroom quickly and without comment. The student activist had allegedly disrupted traffic, okay, get this, by squirting water from a plastic garden sprayer. Makes you proud to be an American.
Yeah. The Oregon Secretary of State's inquiry into the finances of Bill Sizemore's organizations has expanded, with letters asking for more information. Sizemore's American Tax Research Foundation paid him $150,000 over 2 years for fundraising. Quote, yet you provided no documentation to support your statement, said the judge. He ruled that the main purpose of the foundation was to funnel payments to Sizemore from his wealthy benefactors.
It was just another big pipeline. A federal judge has awarded about $235,000 to more than 600 Latino farm workers who accused a farm labor contractor in Yakima Valley, this is in Washington state, his growers, of violating federal labor laws. The long-running case involves Los Angeles-based Global Horizons and two farms, Valley Fruit Orchards and Greenacre Farms. The local farm workers claimed the companies illegally and intentionally displaced them by bringing in workers from Thailand in 2004.
Senator Ron Wyden's vision for stopping the bitter battles over logging on national forests in Oregon would ban the harvest of old-growth trees and give the U.S. Forest Service incentives to focus on thinning instead of traditional timber production. The bill comes as the industry faces tough times. The collapse of the housing bubble left it with few markets for lumber, forcing down the value of private timberlands. Meanwhile, as lawsuits have stalled logging, the mainstream media has gone to bat for the timber industry. They claim that many conservation groups, or rather, yes, conservation groups have recognized that fire danger isn't being addressed. Forests themselves have addressed fire danger for millions of years by periodically burning.
It was as easy as that. The Oregon Court of Appeals ordered Multnomah County to pay $15 million to the estate of Dorothy English. Now, recall that Dorothy was the poster crone for Proposition 37, the ill wind that blew open the floodgates to unrestrained rural development. English fought the county in court for 4 years in an attempt to develop her property off Northwest Skyline Boulevard. It was all over the Oregonian for quite a while. And now a circuit court judge sided with the county, but the appeals court emphatically reversed that decision and ordered that the county pay the judgment. Dorothy's dead now, but her lawyers live on.
In Boise, House lawmakers approved a bill mandating the State Department of Fish and Game kill or move wild sheep that wander onto public grazing allotments above Hell's Canyon, North America's deepest river gorge. The measure cleared the Senate before Thursday's 51-17 vote. Too bad we can't do the same thing to developers.
And now we go to national news and kick things off with D.C. Dirt. KBOO's reporter Spencer Raymond joins us this morning. We're going to talk about this torture memo release. Apparently, the Obama administration has released, I think it was 15 pages, some of it redacted, a memo that outlined some of the techniques that have been used on America's prisoners. The release of the memo itself causes one to ask questions like, is this merely PR? Is it a distraction from the economic mess? Is it a prelude to prosecution, even though Obama says that he's not going to prosecute the people who carried out the torture? Good morning, Spencer. What do you make of it all?
Hey, good morning, Chris. It is interesting to note, you mentioned the time that this is released, but in the memo itself, if we look at what the White House, what the administration is saying, he's basically not excusing the torture methods used under the Bush administration, but basically saying, we can't do anything about it, that was done, we're not going to prosecute that. And at the same time, Obama is saying, I'm the president now, this is a new era, we're not going to be doing these things anymore. So it's kind of, I don't know if it's hypocritical, but it's kind of at one point saying, hey, it's okay, these things happen, but at the same time saying, you know, no, this is not what we want to do anymore, which one could argue it's hard to say that these kind of torture methods, waterboarding especially, should not be used when Obama is saying he's not going to prosecute, he's not going to ask for prosecution for the CIA agents who use these methods on detainees.
We only have time for a few more seconds on this, Spencer, and I do apologize for that. We want to talk some more about the Barack Obama administration's approach to some of these tougher questions. Now, just very briefly.
President Obama went to Trinidad today for the Summit of the Americas. It's a gathering to which Cuba, the only non-democracy, is not invited. President Hugo Chavez, a staunch ally of Cuba, vowed to torpedo a final summit communique in protest of the country's exclusion. And Raul Castro said, Cuba is willing to discuss everything, human rights, freedom of the press, political prisoners, everything.
The works. And in the waters off Somalia, people who have been elaborately identified as pirates for, what, now a week or more? Actually, some of these people are just very upset. The moment that the Somali government collapsed in 1991, Western nations seized upon this great opportunity to dump all their nuclear waste and toxic materials in waters off Somalia. These people are unhappy about it. People are very sick. People are dying. And a number of young Somali men took it upon themselves to patrol their own waters and coastline. And that's it for the pirates for this week.
This has been Headlines and Commentary from Air Cascadia for Friday, April 17th, 2009. Today's editor is Chris Andre. Engineering is Todd Wilson. KBOO AM News and Public Affairs Director is Kathleen Stevenson. I'm Liam Delta.
And I'm Chris Andre. You're listening to member-supported KBOO Portland, your community radio at 90.7 FM. Your support and your support only keeps us subverting the dominant paradigm. Thank you so much, members.
Coming up next, Flashpoints, a report from Haiti and a special report from occupied Palestine.
Thanks for listening and have a good day.